grateful this morning for the fact that the Lord has given me this great
family. Hallelujah.
We're having on this Father's Day. He said he didn't do it because I was a senior past an age. It has its advantages. Getting old is not for the timid. Amen. But I thank him so much for giving me this chance to come today. When you get my age, you don't know when it's going to be the last one.
Well, all right.
It's all right. It's all right.
Appreciate it. Every chance you get to say something for the Lord. When I tell sometime I'm talking about how far I go back, I say, you know, I remember when 123 was a dirt road and 7 was a cow path.
Come on, preacher.
Well, we have to tell our children, let them know, but the thing that we experience.
All right.
As we get older. And the Bible tells us to do that. Pass it on down.
That's right.
From your parents, pass it on down to your children, that they may pass it down to their children.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what we should do.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. But we neglect so much of that today.
Yeah.
We need to let them know what we've been through and prepare them for what they're going through.
Yeah.
Well, things are not getting much better.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And being a grandfather and a great grandfather.
All right.
And I'll give him another privilege. Three great and 8 grand.
So praise the Lord. Lord.
Bless me. It's good to see my 2 daughters here this morning.
Right.
Marilyn from the Oak Grove Church and Sharon from Metropolitan, D.C. and my good friend from Ebenezer.
Amen.
I've got to get a date from you for Ebenezer. Tell them I'm going to do it. I forget it all the time. Great church. And since I served that for a little over a year, I want them to come at a convenient time to be with them. So don't, you won't forget it, folks. It's always good to see you here. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now, I know some of you may have your dinner appointments and already scheduled, so you don't want to be here very long. Amen. Amen. And so I want to tell a story because a story is where I got my subject this morning from. So for you to understand that I have to tell the story so that it may better explain what I'm trying to say. But I want to use for a subject the gathering of broken pieces.
All right, all right.
The gathering of broken pieces. And the story goes like this. The Duke of Norfolk once sent the King of England a priceless treasure as an expression of his love and esteem. What he sent him was a vase, a Portland vase, a rare antique. And because he wanted to share his treasure with the nation, the king had the vase placed in the British Museum. At a later date, as the story goes on, came this disaster. It began in the Duke's own home. His chief servant, puffed up with pride, began a plot to overthrow the Duke. He was caught and dismissed from service. But eaten up with hatred, the servant vowed to get even with the Duke, and so his bitter temper brooded over on a scheme that he knew would bring personal distress to the Duke and his household. A scheme centering around this Portland vase. The servant packed his goods and went to London. He went to the British Museum to find the exact location of this masterpiece. While unobserved, he worked out his plan of revenge. Eventually, visitors left the area of the museum and attendants were out of sight, and quickly and quietly, he climbed over the barrier. At last, his moment of revenge had come. Hatred blinded him, and he, with both hands, he picked up this masterpiece and lifted it over his head and brought it down with all of his might. And sent it crashing to the floor. His evil work was done. The Christ brought the attendants quickly to the scene, but too late. The priceless vase was in 1,000 pieces. Shocked and grieved, the attendants swept up the shattered pieces. The antique was broken beyond repair, or so it seemed. When the king learned about this tragedy, he yelled, "Save every piece. This is my most precious and treasured gift. We'll search for a man who can repair it no matter what the cost might be." And so the search for a craftsman to repair this precious masterpiece began all over the land. For a long time, it proved fruitless, the task impossible. But at long last, far north of Scotland, a man was found who could do the work. He was a distant relative of the original creator of the vase. He came, and for months he labored, working with all of skill and endless patience. Picked up each piece, each broken fragment, found its place in the original piece, and fitted it back where it belonged. And it's said that you might see this vase in the British Museum today, faintly marked by restoration. Now, I can't vouch for the authenticity of this story, but as a parable, it offers a powerful illustration of the story of fallen man.
Come on, sir.
God's great plan,
yes,
of giving his son, Jesus Christ, to rescue lost mankind. Biblical accounts tell of an angel who lived in heaven, second to God. He was brilliant, beautiful, and majestic. He was the chief musician in heaven.
That's right.
His name was Lucifer, son of the morning.
He
also had a problem with pride, wanting to overthrow God. Lucifer said, "I will ascend unto the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High." Lucifer, or Satan, changed from an angelic being unto the devil, the father of lies and evil. He wanted to be God.
That's right.
But his pride was his downfall. Isaiah wrote in the 14th chapter, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cast down to the ground? You shall be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit." You know, anger, hostility, and aggression are often expressions of fear and guilt or jealousy. So it was with Satan. Hatred possessed his fallen angel's being. He determined to get even with God, and so he turned to God's most precious creation, man. Diabolically, he plotted to entice man into pride and sin so that he too would fall from glory. And by destroying man, he would get even with God. He would even his score with God. In his love, God gave man free will, either to love him or not to love him, to choose good or evil.
That's right.
Satan twisted God's gift of free will, telling man that if he disobeyed God, he would not die, but become like God, knowing both good and evil.
That's right.
He did not tell him that disobedience would bring alienation from God and enslavement to evil and death. And so Satan deceived man. He lifted him high, as it were, and with a flight of satanic revenge, sent him crashing to destruction. Satan's evil work was done. Sin entered the world, God's world. Man was eternally separate from God. Or so certain Satan thought. God could have thrown away the pieces of broken humanity, but he didn't. His love for man was far too great. His precious treasure must be redeemed. So he searched the universe.
Come on.
For someone who would come to earth and make mankind whole again. But he searched in vain. No one could be found. And so he chose his only begotten son, Lord Jesus Christ. Only through him could the Father's heart be satisfied. Only he could express the divine love and go to the uttermost length to retain my lost mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten.
Son.
And so, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God,
the one who created all things, the one who with his mighty power flung the stars, the planet, and the galaxies across the heavens to the furthest ends of the universe. The one who created the tiniest atom and the greatest sun and man with his complex mind and spirit laid aside in glory.
Yes.
Become a man himself. He came on a rescue mission from heaven to earth.
Yes, sir. Come on.
To make my each person whole again. Down the dusty streets of Jerusalem, the Son of God searched out the broken pieces on the shores of Galilee by a well in Samaria.
Yes, sir.
In villages and at marketplaces. Always he searched. That's why Christ came to earth to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yes.
When Christ healed blind Bartimaeus, he was lovingly picking up a piece of broken piece
of his creation
and gently placing him back into God's great master design. And there were many others, a leper, a harlot, a despised tax collector, children of religious people, rich people, poor people, all were a part of lost mankind. All were of infinite value to God. And when God found me, another piece of broken humanity. He forgave my sins. Turned me around. Placed me back. Into his master. Today, Christ the Savior is still seeking the lost, telling men and women, boys and girls everywhere, to be forgiven and made whole.
Yes, sir.
Come to me, all you who are weary and
heavy
laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes, sir.
And whosoever will may come.
Yeah.
How can you come? Very simply, my friends, by confessing your sin to him,
sir.
Accepting his forgiveness, and asking him into your life as Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And so praying, my friends, Christ will come into your life, place you back into his great plan for mankind. He'll give you a new heart.
Yes, sir.
May God bless you. That the choir didn't rehearse on Saturday because of a wedding, and the pastor said, "You don't need a rehearsal here." Well, the first answer is, "Go."
He's coming back.
He's coming back. All right, we'll wait for him. Amen. You don't know this, but I love the old numbers. You know, when you look at when you listen to Patrick Ellis, he plays all the old pieces, and I always enjoy that.
The blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden. Bring me every care, where Jesus say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Oh, take my yoke upon me. Oh, and be blessed. I'm meek and lowly. Oh, come and trust my might. Oh, come, my yoke.
All right, preach the Lord. Ready? Are we ready, Father?